Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, broadcasting from sunny Orange County, California. Filmmaker, journalist, and film historian, Paul Booth.
Welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to be discussing the Palm Springs International Short Film Market, Film Festival and Film Market. We're going to be joined by director Luke. I hope I'm not pronouncing it wrong. Are you with us, Luke?
Yes. Hi.
Luke, if you could tell us your last name, that'd be great.
Luke Walpott. I'm from Switzerland.
Excellent. And we really appreciate you being here today. Luke has a film in the Palm Springs International Shorts Fest and Film Market. It's going to be playing on Friday, June 19th at 1:30 out in the Camelot Theaters. Luke, how's it going? Is it hot out there?
Yeah, it's super hot. So we're going from room to room and watching film and meeting people. So
excellent.
It's really
excellent.
Nice.
No, I love it. I love it. One of my really good buddies is from Switzerland. So I'm glad that you get to come here with your film and experience it. We're definitely going to get into talking about that in your bio, but we just wanted to say for myself, my production team, we're very grateful to have you on. I have family in Germany and Turkey, so this is special for me, so thank you.
Great, thanks.
For those of you out there, the Palm Springs, for more information, you can go to www.psfilmfest.org. All kinds of stuff going on this weekend, panels, parties, everything you need to get it going. Palm Springs always knows how to do it. We're going to get into this film here. First of all, congratulations, Luke. I really enjoyed this short. It obviously had a lot to say in the 25 minutes, 23 minutes running time that it had. And there's definitely some things we'll go into. I'll just give a brief bio here for the audience. Luke is a Swiss filmmaker. Grew up in Berlin, studied directing in Paris. I love François Truffaut, by the way, as cliche as that sounds. Founded Turbulence Films, his production company, in 2009 in Geneva. He has directed, shot, and produced various commercials, documentaries, and short fictions, which have premiered at international festivals, won awards, and been broadcasting internationally. Luke, with your short film, before we get into it, I wanted to say that I see that you having shot commercials. If we could just briefly discuss that, and then I'll go into your synopsis. I think filmmakers are always trying to find a path, and short films is the first start. So, how much do you feel you took that commercials really informed making a short fiction?
The commercial is a good place to test new techniques and have, you know, a lot of material to test out. So it's a really good place to test your the technical and push the technical thing. And then it's also to train and to meet people. So it's a really good place to start and to network and to test new thing, but then fiction is completely different because the It's another rhythm, and it's really the emotion that is the most important thing, and getting the story at the right rhythm. So it's pretty different, but at the same time, I'm continuing to shoot commercial because I like it and because it's fun.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that great description, because I've always wondered what it would be like to make a commercial. I've always thought of, to me, it's harder to tell a good story in 1 minute than tell a good story in 10 minutes. So I've always admired people who make commercials. But with Replica, all I'm going to read is the synopsis from the Vimeo link. And so anything that you want to discuss or not because of the story is okay with me. There's no law, no censorship, no agenda. We're just going to get into it. Replica is the synopsis is, as she is forced to terminate her only daughter, a dysfunctional 13-year-old android, a loving mother tries to convince her husband to adopt a human kid. But in a materialistic and functional world, safety takes precedent over emotions. Also, it had its premiere in November of last year. And so with that, what gave you the, what inspired this story? I mean, this is, I recommend to everyone that if you're going to be at Palm Springs on Friday, this will be playing. I mean, they're with other short films, so I can't speak of the other four films, but it's going to be running with Tech-No-Logic. What was your main inspiration for this?
So the premise I had is, for me, it was always I had a good friend of the family who lost her son, and it was always something that really was turning in my mind how terrible it is to have the children leaving before the parents for a parent. And it was something really that I carried through my youth. And one day I came up with the story, what if there is this family and they have to cut, you know, to turn off the machine that make their daughter survive? And what if this daughter is basically a machine itself? And then also that came to my mind, and I was like, where is that coming from? And it was clear for me, it came from an experience I had a couple of weeks before with a really good friend, and his computer crashed, and he had 5 years of work on his computer, his graphic designer, and for him it was the end of the world. It was really, he lost 5 years of his work, and I couldn't understand that he was really affected to that, but to a certain extent, and for him it was really, really emotionally, it was terrible. And I was like, how comes that we're so attached to machine nowadays, and that it's, you know, it's our emotion are almost at the same level as with humans. And that's the big thematic of the movie, and it comes from these two experiences, and that's what inspired the movie.
Well, I first off want to tell you that on the show we do not say anything that we do not mean. So we don't I'll say what I think of your film, and I really mean it. I really liked that aspect of what you were saying about the machines, because sometimes if I talk to friends, I say, how are you? They say, oh, I got a new phone, or I got a new computer, and they don't tell me about their brother, or I know their father. They don't tell me how their father is doing. I say, how is your father? And so that really, I like to see that coming from a film in Switzerland, because I'm very interested for in America, when we think something is just America, I think it is everywhere. I think everyone is the same. So we are all people. So I love to see the stories from Europe and see that it just feels like when we were here. So that was very interesting of a take for you to have an old experience and apply it to the new world. You had such a good cast.
Thank you.
The mother, please feel free if I pronounce any of the names wrong, please feel free to let me know the right pronunciation. I don't want to disrespect any artist. Amy, Carol Brana,
exactly.
Christoph. Yeah, pardon?
No, it's right.
And then,
Jerome Robin.
Okay. And then Clara?
Is, she's called Evelle Brocard.
Okay. And then Sophie Luna Hoffman.
Exactly.
That makes up the mother, correct? And the child and the father. The father and mother, without spoiling the movie, but how much did you have to direct or work with them? I mean, these were very brilliant performances for a simple story. They added on so many layers. What was that process like for you?
First, thank you very much. I'm sure they're going to be super glad to hear that. We really worked together from when I came with the screenplay. We worked a lot on the different layer because the screenplay was already full of different emotion and moments that they have to go through. So we worked that first on the table at a really technical with the script, and they had such amazing question for me that I knew that's when I knew exactly also in casting already that for example Jerome was the right actor because he had the right question for me, and I could feel he understood the character. And then during the production on set, they came up with lots of propositions, and sometimes, most of the time I follow them. Sometimes I had to redirect them because they were going too far, and because it was a really ambitious project. As director, you have really to keep the vision. And so sometimes you have to redirect them, even if the proposition they're doing are really, really great. You're like, no, that's not exactly where I want you to finish, because each character has an arc, and because we're not shooting in the continuity, you have to know exactly where you are and where your character is. But basically it was really an exchange, and they were really, really creative, bringing a lot of subtext in their line and in their little gesture they did. So it was really a nice collaboration. And then it was also funny, I worked with a lot of children, and it's a completely different way to work, because you have to be playful, you have to their instinct, you have to push them, you have to play a little game with them. And yeah, it was a nice mix between all different directing actors technique, but ultimately it was very fun.
I also make films, so when I watch films I try very hard not to think, like you said, wow, that very good performance from child, very hard, how do you do that? I try not to think of the things I know about filmmaking. But as you said that, I was thinking there was so many layers in the film. We can save the social, the political, all that stuff, because we want people to see it. But in the process of the actors, Jerome, Mr. Robart, is there something you could share that was something when you said you have to help them not go too far? Is there something that you could share that you helped pull back? Was it noise?
In in a scene in the middle of the film, he's reacting quite violently towards his wife, and he wanted to be even more violent. But I had to restrain him, because it's the, you know, the tension is building slowly, and the element of the what you know from the characters are also slow, and there is a twist at the end. So I couldn't have him going too far, because otherwise, after the minutes after, he would the character would be not building, but would have either to stay at this level or to go down, and I didn't want that to happen. So it was really to kind of measure the intensity of the acting, to really have it growing slowly.
Okay, I see. I didn't know exactly what you are speaking of from seeing the movie. That is a very thank you for using that example. Because that is the problem with many, I think with most movies, too much emotion too early, any story, different story, not yours, any movie, actress too excited, actor crying too much, exhausting it early in the film, and later on, my emotion is already spent when you're in the audience. So that's a really great thing you said. Also, your actress, in working with children, do you have a number one lesson for you, or a number one rule that you would share with other filmmakers?
For me, it was really in the casting. The casting process was really important, and it's something that was kind of instinct. But also, I had my producer. She has worked with actors or kids already, children, and to have not just my sensibility, but also a mother. She's a mother. She's a filmmaker. She has worked with kids to kind of double check my choice, and then it's really something you feel when you see the kid. You're like, she or he has the energy for this role. And then it's a lot of patience. You have to really take your time. It takes more time, and you have to be playful and not put too much pressure, but just keep doing and keep them. It's also they know what's going on. There is nothing to hide, and it's just, if you do it in a genuine way, it's fun to work with kids, because they also gonna bring you something and it's much more instinct than intellectual, but they gonna bring you some stuff, little words or gesture that you couldn't expect and you couldn't think about, but it's just because they're fresh, and each time it's a new adventure for them. So if you take it as a game and take them seriously, that worked for me, and that would be my advice.
I really like what you said about the children, how everything to them is first time.
Yeah.
Even when they're still eating, they eat breakfast every morning, but maybe they never had eggs or they never had pancakes. And so they are very, like you, that is so perfect what you say, the innocence. They are not thinking, they are not worried, they do not have girlfriend, wife, husband, kids, bills, job. So they can just be funny or sad so to view that you are getting you're just getting nothing but truth every moment. Thank
absolutely.
You for,
and you have really to use that as a filmmaker and not to try to control them. You have to of course direct them, but control them will be completely counterproductive.
I see. Well, this is, I know for any filmmaker, is a very cliche question, but I am just always interested in what kind of movies that other filmmakers like to watch. I am always wondering that. Like, what kind of movies is, I mean, this movie had, would you, I mean, What is your favorite kind of movies?
I'm watching a lot of different movie, but just to maybe for replica, some movie that influenced me. There is, of course, Children of Men by Alfonso Cuarón. That was a big inspiration. There is also the thematic of the sterility is there. And it was really a movie we discussed a lot with my DP. And then there is Gattaca, the science fiction. And we were really looking into these two directions. And probably for the aesthetic, we went more towards Gattaca than Children of Men. But Children of Men was a huge influence for me. And then as more European movie, I really, really appreciate the work of Jacques Audiard. It's a French director. He just won the Palme d'Or in Cannes. He did A Prophet. He did Read on My Lips. And it's really, is for the moment, one of my favorite directors.
Well, we appreciate you sharing that, because one thing that we want to always do with every episode is have education of film and sharing of cultures. So thank you for sharing that filmmaker with us. And, you know, Children of Men, for many people in America, were so, I mean, I know I saw that when it came to DVD. It was such a scary movie. Alfonso Cuarón is one of my favorite. I love Y Tu Mamá También, and such a good humanitarian first and then filmmaker. Children of Men, very interesting. But since you mentioned that, I did want to say your cinematographer, how long have
Frank
you known this guy? Okay, Frank Van Vliet, and how long have you known him?
It's he was my teacher back in Paris 10 years ago. So he taught me how to light and use the camera. And I really learned a lot from him. After that, I shot a lot of short film, commercial, a feature film. And we had a really, really good connection. So I asked him if he would like to DP my movie. And he was pleased. And so we had a... Because he told me a lot of what I know from the camera work, we had a really, really good communication and understanding, and we had the same language. So it was really a pleasure to work with him on set.
Wow, that is very cool, your teacher. I have gotten to work with some teachers, so I understand for anyone listening, that is a very big blessing. Very great experience when you can work with a teacher. Because when I was watching the cinematography, again, I try very hard to not pull apart, but the cinematography was so... I mean, it did not seem like you had very much unused footage. It seemed like you knew exactly what you wanted to shoot. Or was there some, maybe a medium and a long shot, or a medium and a close-up? Or was it just
no,
new medium?
We were pretty clear of that we wanted this kind of aesthetic. And we have also to say that the art director helped us a lot, and my DP told me he never worked with such a good art director, because he told me everywhere where I'm pointing my camera, it's beautiful, I could do a shot. And Daniel Raluta, who did the art direction, is a Romanian art director that worked on many feature film, also big ones. And we had as inspiration, he brought the inspiration of this Romanian artist Constantin Brancusi, and it's all spheric and very, very kind of spheric and minimalistic. And we thought it was perfect for the thematic of sterility and this sterile world. So that helped a lot to have such a brilliant art director to do a nice work image-wise.
Well, I like that you said that because on my piece of paper here, my next note says costume set. I was, again, everyone listening to the show, this is a very, so many things about this film. It is a very good film. If when you make films and you watch and it is, you are trying not to say nice shot, nice set, nice clothes. These sets we will not discuss any story, but the sets, were some of these houses or was stuff built or it was.
No, most of it was real location. We shot on everything. We had just one location that was studio. All the rest was real location. And we had a long, you know, scouting process, but we find this incredible location. And then with the help of the art director, and he's really amazing because he takes two pieces of cardboard and he does something and it looks great. And so it's really creativity more than big money or, you know, tools. His creativity and the choice of location. We had and that's really my producer, Alexandre Iordachescu, who from Elephant Film in Geneva, who find a way to access this great location. We had this architect house that was a cube of glass basically and concrete, and then we shot at the University of Lausanne in a new building that is the building is kind of arches of concrete, and basically physically these arches couldn't hold themselves. So it's behind gravity. So it's really interesting to have a location like this, especially for a science fiction movie.
Wow, yeah, because I was very, I could tell that it was creativity and not the money. As you know, for filmmakers, you can tell in 2 minutes if it is creativity or money. Mm-hmm. And we never ask budgets on this show, so we want to say that we appreciate you making a movie look like more. That is the goal and the real true thing of cinema. For those of you who have just tuning in or sharing the podcast, we're talking with the director of Replica, Luke Walpoth, and it is playing in Palm Springs Friday, June 19th at 1:30 at the Camelot Theaters. For more information, please go to Palm Springs or www.psfilmfest.org. Again, you know, Replica will be in a short program of films that is 92 minutes. The program is called Tech-No-Logic. And there is films from United States, United Kingdom, France, and of course our director here today, we've been talking with us from Switzerland. Please go out and check out Replica. We have been discussing costumes, set, cinematography, different movies. I recommend Children of Men to anyone. Thank you for that, Luke. The next thing is, we are always excited to hear the how a premiere was for a filmmaker. How did the premiere go for you?
So we had a premiere in November 2014 in Leuven. And unfortunately, I have to say that we had to compete. The screening was just next to the national screenings. So the national room was packed and our room was half full. And that's always a little bit sad when it's the premiere, but then the premiere I had just with the crew and the people that work with and friends and everything in Switzerland was full. We had to rescreen the movie 3 times because people couldn't come in the room. It was too many people. So that's, you know, I was, after that, I was really happy. The premiere in Leuven, and then the festival was really packed, but just this first screening was, there weren't many people, and it was a little sad for the premiere, but at the same time, I know that then we got a lot of people who saw the movie. I wasn't there anymore, but, and really appreciate them. That was the experience of the premiere. Now I'm really, really, really excited to have my North American premiere here in Palm Springs and to see how the American audience and also international other filmmakers that will come will react to this movie.
Well, plus, will this be the first time you see it in a movie theater?
No, I saw it already in Leuven, Belgium, and Switzerland in Geneva. So I saw it, but every time you see your own movie, it's a different experience, and the public is very different from place to place. And that's why we're doing movies, to have a real audience, people of different place, and being able to open the discussion with, you know, people from all over the world. That's why, at least, I'm doing movies.
Well, that's a great thing. I like that you're saying that. That is one of the reasons. I'm sorry, you're a filmmaker. You will understand. There's a helicopter flying over my house.
Yeah.
or any filmmaker will know, the moment you want to roll sound, a plane will come out of nowhere. No airport,
absolutely,
nothing, plane flies by. that is one of the things of why we do this show, is so we can meet filmmakers from different states or different countries. Or so we will also be having people from Vancouver, Toronto. That is the whole point for us, is to come together, just talk movies, love movies, share life experiences, wine, cheese, everything that is good. For the last thing I want to go into is with this story, and again, we do not need to discuss the story, but for something that makes a very good short film, would you want to make a feature film with similar story?
Yes, absolutely. So I just wrote the feature. I finished 110 page a week ago, and it's basically the same characters, but the story is different. And I didn't want to take the short film and extend it to a feature. We were discussing that with my producer earlier, and for me, this this short film has its own length and has the story is for this length. So for a feature, I decided really to extend the world, but thinking about new thematics, and really the thematic that is in my head for a long time now is how we learn and how we pass knowledge, the transmission of knowledge from generation to generation. And again, I find it really interesting to involve in this reflection androids. What's going to be the place of the machine, of the when we're going to have to transmit knowledge? And so it's much more based on Chris. Replica was a family drama, and it really goes around a couple. And now the feature version is much more based on a parent-son relationship. So it's going to be Chris and his father, Amy, and her daughter, and see how they pass their own experience and own knowledge to their kids. But in my point of view, often it jumps generation, and that's what the movie is about.
That's really interesting, because it cannot even apply to the film, to not spoil anything, but that is so great, because I often think I have no photo of my friend. I could even say my very good friend in Switzerland. I have maybe two photos with him, but all we have is email or text or very expensive to have a conversation. We would probably talk four times a week, but we talk maybe once every 6 months because of the price. So the photo is so important, and I think of him often. When I got your bio, the first thing I thought of was my friend in Switzerland, who I met when I was in film school. He was learning English, and so it was very great for me to experience the world each day with someone who did not speak English. I think, I do not mean child, like immature or in a bad way, but everything was new to him because he could not speak with us, but we could say certain things or have beer and everything was okay. You know, all it was sitting there with beer and the whole story was told. So I really appreciated that. And what you're saying about communication and droids and stuff, I plan to come out tomorrow, so I will hopefully get to see you. I would like to say hello,
great.
And we wish you a lot of luck with the screening. And my producers wanted to say thank you, and we are very glad to have had you on. Is there anything else that you would like to say before I wrap up the show?
Two little things. First, if you want to know more about the movie, you can go on the website. The official website is replicafilm.com. And I wanted to thank you, Paul, for having me. It's really great conversation with you. I hope to see you tomorrow. And I wanted to thank also the Palm Spring International Short Fest for having me. It's very great. I have to say, all the program I've seen until now have a really, really high quality of film. I'm amazed, and I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're very, very welcome, and you have a great, safe evening, and I look forward to meeting you tomorrow.
Perfect. Thank you, Paul. Have a nice day.
Aloha. That was Luke Walpoth from Switzerland, based in Berlin. He's out here in Palm Springs, which is just outside Los Angeles. And we're so thankful that he took his time today to talk with us about Replica. I'm going to give the film one last plug before I continue my journey towards Palm Springs. Replica will be playing Friday, June 19th at 1:30. In Palm Springs in the International Shorts Fest and Film Market as part of a film program called Tech-No-Logic. 92 minutes. You'll have films in there from U.S., United Kingdom, France. We just broke down Replica with director Luke Walpoth. With that, I really got to get my way going to Palm Springs, and we appreciate, as always, we appreciate you for tuning in. We appreciate you guys for the bump in the numbers. It's all about movies. It's all about people. It's all about love. I'm going to sign off with my usual sign off. Do whatever you're going to do today, but make sure and watch some good movies tonight.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, real conversation and movie-induced inspiration.